Absolute Friends is the title of the latest novel by John le Carré, the pen name of David Cornwell. It is a tale full of those trademark themes of le Carré's spy novels, loyalty, betrayal, and, as the title suggests, friendship. David Cornwell joins us from London. Welcome to the program once again.
Thank you very much.
More than once in reading your books, I've been reminded of that quotation attributed to E.M. Forster in 1938, "If I had to choose between betraying my country and betraying my friend, I hope that I should have the guts to betray my country." Do you regard this as a very vital tension between friendship and patriotism, a theme that you've been writing about for many years?
I think, yes, in this book I have, I suppose, explored that problem almost as far as it will go, and I think the reason for that is that our perception of nationhood is becoming very important to us, even as a process of internationalization theoretically occurs. And also, we're living in a time where patriotism is invoked to cover all kinds of protest. And that perception of nationalism, I think, of patriotism, is one that is deeply troubling to me as an obstruction to free speech and free association with one another.
Much of Absolute Friends has to do with spying in, against, and for the late and largely unlamented state of East Germany.
Yes, and rightly unlamented, a terrible little state.
And a state which posed people with all sorts of dilemmas about loyalty and about how one reconciled one's own integrity with one's position in society. Certainly a far cry from what the Englishman, Ted Mundy, faces in reconciling himself with his country.
Yes, both of these characters, the Brit and the German, come from shattered families, and they are the inheritors of terrible pieces of history. On the one hand, the Englishman comes out of colonial India. His father was a creature of that imperial period in Britain. Mm-hmm. And my Englishman feels a little bit ashamed of that inheritance, as indeed I do. My German, his background is hideously complicated. It turns out gradually that his father was what was called in Hitler's time ein deutscher Christ, that was a Nazi Christian, in effect, a member of the tolerated Lutheran Church under Nazism. He later changed his spots and became a communist, and in the perception of his son, Sasha, was an absolutely appalling and unintelligible man. Both of them, therefore, are trying to achieve what we're all trying to achieve, that is, a destiny which is not determined by their origins. And that's what unites them as friends, but at the same time, it dooms them.
Do you consider yourself a man with very, very close friendships, or with a very close friendship as intense as the one you write about in this book?
I've been through them at one time or another. I don't think that I have any close friendship now that has endured, but you know, at my age, once friends die off. Mm-hmm. I think that I can look back, perhaps nostalgically, on people I worked closely with and people with whom I shared great moments and terrible moments in my life. But I have no persistent friendship that would mirror the friendship that I've described in the novel. No.
I want to ask you about something else you've written recently, which is autobiographical. Story of your father and of your childhood. Your father was a con man who spent time in prison.
Yes.
And for those of us who read A Perfect Spy, we'll recall that the character, is it Magnus Pym, his father was a con man. A fictive whitewash compared to what you actually write about in your own life, I might say. What a dreadful relationship with your father.
Well, it's a quotation that I love from Graham Greene, that childhood is the bank balance of the novelist, the credit balance. And it may have been a dreadful relationship, but to grow up around somebody like that, as exotic, as truthless and as affectionate as that, and to watch with a child's eyes how he would set up a mark and rip him off or her off, and then, like Don Giovanni, always believe the last thing he had said, and while he was saying it, believe it passionately and religiously. It was an extraordinary education, if you like, in deceit. I think it was Talleyrand who said that loyalty is about dates, when you believe in something and when you don't. And the ground shifts all the time. And with my father, the ground always shifted. As I grew up and my eyes got clearer, I realized what I was watching.
Nothing prepares one for a life of creating fiction like being raised in the fictitious universe created by one's father.
I think that's true. I think that the one thing that marks most writers is the condition of unhappiness and alienation. I went to my first boarding school at the age of 5, and growing up in that, on the one hand, in these weird closed societies with archaic laws and built-in injustice, and on the other hand, living on up and down with my father's fortunes in the holidays, I think it just drove me in upon myself and made the fictitious world the real one for me, the imaginative world that was a refuge that I could retreat to when life became incomprehensible.
I'm thinking of what Talleyrand said, when you just quoted about dates. At what date did life cease being incomprehensible to you?
Oh, I think I may safely say that has never happened. I still find it a mystery. At my age, it's watching the movie come round again. I think the fact that after we had ended the Cold War, that we set about demonizing Islam, that we set about preparing ourselves for unlimited wars in the future, I continue to find that deeply depressing. And I suppose that's what I was fighting against in Absolute Friends, and that for as long as I can is what I will continue to fight against. I would long for more comprehension and a greater respect for the victims of our dreams.
Well, David Cornwell, John le Carré, thank you very much for talking with us once again.
Thank you very much, Robert.
Mr. Cornwell is the author most recently of the novel Absolute Friends, under his pen name, John le Carré.